This is Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service, and we are in the middle of a multi-part tour of the WLW transmitter site in Cincinnati, Ohio. Our tour took place at Christmas time, 2002. Our host, Clear Channel's Paul Jellison. Let's get back to that fun day. This is fun, folks. I have to tell you, this is the station we all talk about. And I'm walking by this 1927 model transmitter, which is about 9 feet high, I guess, isn't it? And the coils inside this thing, which handled all of the radio frequency signals, are half-inch diameter copper for the most part, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, we can walk around behind this transmitter and actually walk.
Well, let's look at the water-cooled part of it, because that's something folks might find a little unusual. Oh, and now he turned a big wheel, which is an interlock, one way to make sure that you can't open the door without shutting off whatever electricity is flowing through this room.
Yes.
That's a room about, this is fun, I love the echo in here.
Yes.
It smells and looks old.
Yes. It looks like Frankenstein's lab. I have a lot of people say it looks like Frankenstein's lab.
It's probably 15 feet square, and it's full of stuff.
Yes, it has capacitors and huge oil-filled transformers, air-filled. It's got resistors and relays, and I mean it's. And then overhead, we were talking about the water cooling. You can see these long Pyrex glass tubes. They are about an inch and a quarter in diameter, and I would say there's probably a couple of hundred feet of them in series with the water that flows up to the tube. And of course the tube runs at a potential of around 11,000 volts. Obviously you can't just plumb a copper pipe into something running at 11,000 volts.
Not for long.
So the theory is we run distilled water in our loops, and distilled water has no mineral content, so it doesn't conduct electricity. And the distilled water actually isolates the tube while dissipating the heat in the tube.
And the Pyrex is actually an insulator.
So you
keep the electricity off of the pump. While we're on that subject, you may have noticed on the NRC bulletin board, somebody asked about the rumor that your pond where you circulated the water for heat exchanging might have been used for a swimming pool.
Well, actually, you know, I would not be surprised, although there was a heat exchanger inside. The distilled water was actually internal to the building. The external water, and then there was a heat exchanger, and the external water was treated, but not, I mean, it wasn't obviously you couldn't control the purity in the outside environment. People getting in it, realistically, it was only about a foot and a half deep when it was in operation.
So a rumor.
It's a rumor, although the pond's still out there, and right now we've got probably 50 or 60 smallmouth bass in there.
We'll have to look at that. Did you bring a fishing pole? I am looking at something that I suspect is connected to a wheel here.
Yes.
Here it is right here. There is I wish I could describe this better, but there's a long operating rod that goes to three big copper bars, and by rotating the rod, it slams those three bars up into their respective sockets and puts what voltage?
That's 2,400 volts.
Well, only 2,400.
Well, but if you'll notice also here is a couple of more of shorting switches, and you'll notice that while we opened the disconnect to walk in the room.
That was that wheel you turned.
Yes, it disconnected the 2,400 volt power.
Right.
It also grounded out the high voltage bus bar for the final amplifier, and also for the lower voltage screen circuits, the 1,800 volt.
And this was probably, all this interlocking was probably designed and built right here, wasn't it?
Yeah, you can pretty well bet this was all done here. Yeah.
And you still don't touch anything. You don't?
No,
never. Keep your hands in your pocket.
Yeah, that's right.
Very interesting. So in this, all of this supported the 27?
The Western Electric 50 kilowatt. This is the power vault for that room.
Okay.
And
where are the pumps for the
distilled
water?
The pumps that are around the corner.
Around the corner, okay. Now, there are not a lot of transmitter buildings where you see plumbing supplies on the shelf.
That's right. You know,
look at this.
I think that's, you know, I really think that's where, in the broadcasting business, it's sort of the joke, the engineer's the jack of all trades. Well, I think this is why, because an engineer of old had to be a plumber and an electrician and have a pretty vast knowledge of electronics. So,
did you do any coal stoking here at this site?
It's next door.
You have a coal?
Yes, it's still there. I've still got the 1946 boiler license on the wall.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Now we're moving into a room where there are hundreds of spools of wire, copper wire, of every shape, color, thickness.
Yes, this is the wire room. They actually wound their own transformers here. You'll notice this is they
wound their own transformers?
Yeah, they actually wound transformers here, especially modulation. You'll notice this is square wire, and that's round wire.
Yeah.
And the reason is with square wire on a winding, you can get more copper density with square wire than you can with round, because if you take two circles and you put them together, you got quite a bit of open area. With square wire, you can get a higher density of copper.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd never thought of that.
More power.
Is that Litz wire?
It's not Litz. It's just a cotton coated. It's just wrapped.
I've never seen anything like that.
But
it is square. The way it's drawn or extruded.
Yes. And there are several of the square wires around here. But it's pretty incredible.
So this is just the wire room. Although I see you got a few light bulbs.
Yeah. That we expanded the light bulbs in our room.
All right, now we're in a room with a couple of pumps, or one pump and...
One pump and pieces. These were actually two pumps for the main and the backup transmitter. Everything used to be water-cooled in the plant. This pump actually flows the water through the system, and right now we've got it off because running a 5-horsepower motor 24/7 gets to be a little expensive,
especially with three other backup transmitters.
Yeah, we felt it was probably time to maybe not do that anymore.
So this is the distilled water loop.
Yes, okay. And you can see there's these huge radiators. Mm-hmm. Those are probably.
He's looking at a wall of all I can see is the filters, but there is a radiator inside there that's not unlike a car radiator, only about 12 times as big.
Right, exactly.
Water flows through them, and there must be a huge blower somewhere blowing air through those filters.
Yes, there's a bank of blowers on the backside that blow those through. I might add that tops, there's actually two radiators here. Some years ago, we had our radiator fail on our generator and freeze and burst. And we knew we were coming up within the next year or so of getting a new generator. So it's like, well, rather than spend several thousand dollars getting a new radiator in, we just took the old radiator, which was not in use anymore, and plumbed it into the new generator.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
The old generator.
Now that's engineering.
It worked just fine.
All right. I see it looks like a Harkins Hirschfeld exciter there.
Actually, that is an RCA.
Is it?
STL. That was on for Cincinnatiites. The largest, the tallest building in Cincinnati is the Carew Tower. And that's the big, tall, Art Deco-looking building in downtown Cincinnati. And the Carew Tower had this STL transmitter on it. The receiver was up here to receive the STL signal. The unit consumed 1 kilowatt of power.
Whoa.
And it put out 1 watt.
And he means by STL studio to transmitter link, so this was the main path for the signal for a long time.
Yeah, it brought it up. Actually, they brought it up to the Voice of America just down the road and then shipped it up here on wireline.
Oh, I see.
Because evidently the terrain didn't allow.
Oh, so the receiving antenna couldn't see the transmitter.
Yes, so it was down the road about a mile.
You know, we haven't mentioned that, but we are just a mile and a half from the now decommissioned Voice of America plant. That was the big shortwave site.
Correct. And the Crosley engineers, which WLW was started by Powell Crosley, and Crosley, then Avco, is what it turned into. And the old Crosley Avco engineers actually worked at they actually maintained the Voice of America site.
Really?
Yes. That was done under contract, and then eventually the workers, you know, the federal government picked up their workers, and I'm told that in the 60s you had a choice. You could either stay with Crosley or you could go down there.
Either be a civil servant or have fun. We talked about this earlier. WSAI in its previous incarnation as WCKY was also at this site, wasn't it?
Correct. Yes, it was actually the bottom half of the residence where I live at was actually the the transmitter building for the for that operation. And then on the upper floor was the apartment for the engineer. So there's always been somebody around here.
So it was always self-contained, and that building's right next door to us here. So you could, for any reason, natural or man-made disaster, you could hole up out here and keep this thing running, couldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. We've got generator power here. We can run. We've got about a 40-day supply of fuel. Quite a bit of offline capability here. Of course, I don't know after 40 days what I'd talk about. But
you're saying you're going to go sit in the fallout shelter. Can't call them that anymore. That's right.
That's right.
Glass block windows everywhere here. This is a huge plant. What's this red light for that's hanging down from the ceiling?
That signifies that this transmitter is on the air. When the red light.
Be careful about that door.
Right. That's sort of like an on-air light. That lets you know that don't turn the thing off.
So this red light was on New Year's Eve 2000?
You betcha.
I'll bet that was a thrill for you.
Yeah, it was.
Jeez. Now we're approaching the machine shop, and it's a huge machine shop. You got room in here for half a dozen people to work simultaneously?
They tell me that when they were running a 500 kilowatt transmitter, there were 13 people on duty, so to speak.
On duty at any given time.
Yeah.
Each had a specialty, I suppose. So we're walking through the shop area, and you've got every.
We've got a pretty good sized project going on, as you can see. We unfortunately lost one of the transformers in our substation. We own our substation. It is a 2-megawatt substation, which is way overkill for the power level we run now, but it was necessary to run the 500 kilowatt transmitter. The actual old transmitter actually pulled about from what I can find from my records, this site pulled about 1.8 million watts when the thing
was on the air. And 100% modulation. Yes. And I heard 33,000 volts was the entrance.
Yeah, 33. Actually, they've jacked that up to, it was 33,000 to 2,300. It has since been changed to 34.5, so we get 2,400. But one of those transformers failed, so we are in the process of converting the plant over to 480 volts and actually getting out of the substation business. It seemed a terrible shame to pump oil out of perfectly clean transformers out in the substation and fill them full of oil dry.
Right.
But there's no need for them anymore. So.
So the cabling that he's dealing with here as he rebuilds this is triple odd at least, isn't it?
That's called 500 MCM. That's 500 million circular mils.
How thick is that cable?
I would say that cable is probably between 3/4 of an inch and an inch. The actual, with the jacket on it, it's a good inch, yeah.
So now you've become a pipe bender as well.
Yeah, well, we've got electricians doing this stuff. These guys are really good. We are attempting to reuse some of the old wiring coming in. You can see that's old lead covered cable.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So we are attempting to reuse that.
Now he's about to open a fire door. And we have entered a room where giants once played. Well, nice turn of phrase notwithstanding, that's where we end this month's tour. Next month, when we return to WLW, we'll look at the 500,000-watt transmitter. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. We'll be back in just 30 days or so. Till then, good listening, DXers.